You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke with ACT MP Laura Trask about public sector job cuts. I started our interview asking her about the over 6,000 public service roles which have already gone or are expected to go. With the number expected to continue to climb, last week ACT Party leader David Seymour said he thinks the government has still not slashed enough public service roles. Additionally, I asked Laura about the government introducing a new young serious offender declaration in an effort to reduce youth offending. This could see some serious youth offenders being sent to a military-style academy or boot camp, which have been met by criticism for their failure to address root causes of youth offending. Lastly, I asked her about the Parliamentary Select Committee recommending last week that the Māori Wards Bill go ahead. The bill, which would reverse changes made to increase Māori representation in local government by reverting the Māori Ward rules to restore the referendum mechanism, has also been met with criticism, namely with the Waitangi Tribunal saying it breaches Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Here is that interview. So I wanted to begin by asking you about public sector job cuts. There's over 6,000 roles already gone or expected to go. And last week, ACT Party leader David Seymour said the government has still not slashed enough public service roles, him having campaigned on cutting 15,000. Would you be able to first elaborate on why the government is cutting so many roles in the public sector and why Seymour thinks 6,000 is not enough?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, under the previous government, so from like 2017 to 2023, we saw a 28% increase in public service staff. So it's quite a lot. It's around 18,000. With this, we obviously saw inflation grow. So we've got a serious economic problem in New Zealand, and one of those things is attributed to the spend of government. I mean, there's plenty of things that contribute to it, but that is one of the core things. And so in order to get the government spending down, we campaigned on it, reducing the waste and obviously cutting some of the public service jobs back to the pre-2017 level. So 6,000 roles have been cut, and saying that there are some frontline service new roles that have established. So Aranga Tamariki, for example, have more frontline staff coming in, and the same with things like customs, for example. So I think that when you level it out, it will actually be a lot less than 6,000. But there are roles being cut, and I do sympathise with those people that are losing their jobs, because it is a horrible time to be in with this economic crisis that we have.
To kind of add on to what you're saying there, it is hard on these people, and many public servants have said that they have gone to Australia for jobs as a result because the job market in New Zealand isn't giving them any options. Do you think it's fair to lay off so many of these people considering the current job market in Aotearoa?
Look, I think that it's not just the public service, it's across the board. Like, we are hearing the private sector as well having to lay off staff. I do not want to see good talent moving across to Australia, and I wish that we had an economy where we could support these roles elsewhere. So I 100% agree with you. I don't want to see good talented Kiwis moving across to Australia, and I hope that we can turn this economy around, create more jobs here locally so that people can actually stay. But the problem is, the issue is what we have right now in front of us. And in order to get the economy moving, we need to reduce inflation.
All right, moving on. So it's been announced that a new young serious offender declaration will be introduced. Under this, serious young offenders could be sent to a military-style academy or boot camp. ACT MP Karen Shaw said that the interventions under the new declaration will improve young offenders' lives. And I understand this is an effort to reduce youth offending, but how will these military-style academies benefit offenders' lives, as Chua said?
Yeah, so basically adding the category in enables the judges, when sentencing, if there has been some quite serious crimes, to have somewhere else for these youth to go. So at the moment, they'll go within to a youth justice facility, and there's no real definite programs that they've been put through. So often in there and they're serving sort of their time, and then they're heading back out into the community. And so with the boot camps, it's sort of like a revamped version of what we've seen in the past. However, it focuses more on the actual wraparound than the boot camp itself. So the boot camp is a small component of that, and it may not be suitable for all of the young offenders. They'll be screened first to check if they've got, you know, underlying conditions, whether it might be neurodiversity, for example, and then they'll be popped within a course or a program. And the boot camp is a small part of that, and then the follow-on is what happens over the following 12 months and back in with the community itself. So it's sort of like, while it is a boot camp as part of it, that is just a very small component of the program in general.
And I mean, considering that young offenders often have histories of trauma, poverty and family issues, research into these military-style interventions has found that those with a rehabilitative component are most effective at reducing reoffending. If the rehabilitative aspect of a boot camp or military-style intervention is what makes it most effective, why has the government insisted on keeping a military-style component at all?
Yeah, look, I agree. I think the rehabilitative side of things is the most effective. But what we have actually seen with boot camps before is that they are really effective in that first sort of month or two when people have left the boot camp. It's what happens after that. So what we're trying to do is capture the good parts from the boot camps themselves, which are around the structure, the discipline, ensuring that children or young people or youth themselves actually have these boundaries and consequences put in place, but then making sure that they also have all of these other serious concerns that lead to the offending addressed. So it's about finding that balance between the two, and I think that we've got a really positive program, and I think that we'll see a really great outcome from it.
All right, moving on. I wanted to ask about Māori wards. So last week, the Parliamentary Select Committee recommended the Māori wards bill go ahead. This was despite the Waitangi Tribunal having said the bill breaches Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the treaty partnership it envisaged. ACT has voiced its opposition of Māori wards, and Seymour has said he's, quote, not really sure why we take a period of time 200 years ago and decide to privilege some humans over others, end quote. However, the aim of Māori wards is to ensure Māori are represented in local government decision-making as an effort to rebalance historical inequity. Why is having this dedicated Māori voice in local government something ACT wouldn't want?
Look, I think that's not true. We do actually want Māori voice within local government and central government. I think we actually already have a really good balance. We've got quite a lot of Māori consultation back to government. We have like local iwi consulting to council, for example. When we talk about the elected officials, we're getting into our democracy. So if we're going to be changing our democratic structure, we think it's most fear that the general public get a say on that, because that's our actual democracy that we're talking about. And it's not about reducing minority voice or making sure that minorities don't have a say. That's absolutely not correct. What it is making sure that if we are going to make a change, and some councils very well will want to keep their Māori wards, then those people, those local people in those constituencies actually get that voice and they get to decide. And we may see some stay and we may see some go. And it's just about upholding the democracy when it comes to that. Absolutely, I agree. I think we need Māori voice within local and central government. And I think we are actually getting a really good amount of consultation coming back through, more and more over the last, at least, especially the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. So will this government introduce a different measure to make a dedicated space for a Māori voice in local councils then?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think we'll be making any additional. Look, I think if we look at local council currently and we look at the makeup of their consultation and who they have coming in to give policy advice, for example, we've got a lot of Māori representation. And if we actually just look at the people that are elected into local and central government, we are seeing a lot of Māori representation. I don't think that we need any extra provisions in place that make things mandatory. I think as a society, we are seeing those changes happen regardless.
That was ACT MP Laura Trask speaking to me about public sector job cuts, military-style academies for youth offenders, and ACT's stance on Māori wards.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.